Bible teaches us that we should live a life of gratitude, that we should be thankful to God no matter the circumstance. I try to live a thankful life regardless of what's going on. But you know, sometimes the world can make maintaining a thankful heart a difficult thing to do. My question is, how can I honor God more consistently?
I've got a great life. I've been blessed with so many wonderful people and things, and I truly am thankful for everything. It's just that sometimes I don't show it. In fact, I'm not even really sure I know how to show it. I'd like to know what a life of gratitude really looks like.
Thankfulness. I usually feel too overwhelmed to tap into that. Whenever I seem to get my feet back on the ground, there's just a whole new wave of challenges that hits me, and it's so draining. Gratitude isn't really on my radar when it feels like things are falling apart. What I'm wondering is, how do I become grateful?
To be honest, I probably complain more than I'm grateful. I just feel kind of bombarded by society, like it's consistently reminding me what I don't have. It's easy to get distracted and lose track of what I do have. So where do I start? I guess I start here.
Lord, please teach me to respond to whatever I encounter, good and bad, from a place of gratitude towards you.
Lord, I really do want to be grateful to you, but I don't know how. I need you to show me what it looks like.
God, please help me. It's so hard to be thankful when I'm facing these challenges. I need you.
God, can you help me recognize the good things in my life?
Please, God, teach me how to live a life of gratitude.
Well, Dave and Stacy, you guys can come on and start making your way forward. Our first kind of speakers this morning will be Dave and Stacy Hsu. And I encourage everyone to turn on their active listening ears this morning as we participate in the spiritual discipline of listening. And as you listen, as you reflect, again, I pray that your eyes, your ears, and your heart would be open to receive what the Lord would have to say to us this morning from Dave and Stacy and from Travis and Leah in just here in a few minutes. But our first couple is Dave and Stacy Hsu. You guys come on up. Dave, you want here? Okay.
Good morning. So, Stacy and I wanted to come up today and speak about what we were thankful for. The theme of it, if you will, is marriage. What we're thankful for is an unchangeable past. In April, we'll have been married for 30 years. Yes. And like some, we've had some good times, we've had bad times, and we've had dark times. And within our almost 30 years of marriage, we've dealt with various things. We've dealt with drug abuse. We've dealt with alcoholism. We've dealt with psychological and emotional abuse. Distrust and depression. If some would actually say that on paper, we still shouldn't be married. We shouldn't be married today. But God intervened and had other plans for Stacy and I. His plans were to repair, restore, and redeem us individually and also together in our marriage. But in order for this to happen as individuals, we had to make a choice. In Matthew 16:24, God's word says this, Then Jesus said to his disciples, Those who want to come with me must say no to the things they want. Pick up their crosses and follow me. And so we did. And although the crosses we picked up were heavy, God helped us carry them and still does to this day. Not all days are easy or perfect. And some days we still get it wrong. One thing is for certain, we would not be standing here together today if it wasn't for God's unfailing love for us. If at any point we could have changed the wrong that had been done in our past, the presence of God would not be in our marriage. Stacy and I would not be able to give glory and honor to our God through our marriage. So as husband and wife and best friends, that is why we are thankful for an unchangeable past. Thank you.
Hey guys, let's pray for you all. Any elder or anybody else that want to come up here and join us, that would be awesome. It's really hard getting up here and speaking in front of a crowd. Even people that we know that love and care and desire good, it's still difficult to come up here and do it. So Dave and Stacy, thank you all very much for your vulnerability, for your honesty, and for your commitment to shine and show God's love in the midst of difficult seasons. Times in life. You are a witness and a testimony to you all of our God's love and our God's grace and our God's purpose. So thank you both very, very much. Let's pray over Dave and Stacy. Father, for friends, family, for stories that we can relate and that we can connect to, thank you. Father, for repairing, for restoring, and for redeeming, those three are words we all can relate to. Thank you for them. We thank you for the story that Dave and Stacy have shared with us today. Thank you for their commitment to you. Thank you for their commitment to one another. And what that tells us, God, thank you for not giving up on them. Working in and through both of them. And we ask that you would bless them and their marriage. God, thank you for them. We love them, and we are so grateful to hear from them today. Christ, we pray together. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Travis, Celia, you guys come on up. You want the platform, or do you want the... Travis and Leah Thompson.
Shoes, you guys look beautiful. Very fancy. We did not coordinate this morning.
No.
Lucky. Okay, so Travis and I are going to talk about how we're thankful for the church family here. At Church in the Falls. I want to start with Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And that is really how I feel about this church here. But some thoughts that I wanted to share. First, I did ask the kids what they were thankful for. I told them we were talking, and I was like, what are you guys thankful most about our church? First, they are thankful for their friends. They are thankful for their teachers, and they are thankful for Miss Velma. those are all very wonderful things for them to be thankful for. When we first came to church in the Falls, our very first Sunday, we had some sad kids. They were not happy to be looking for a new church. They were not on board. We told them it would be okay. We knew it would be hard, but we would figure it out, and it would be okay. So they came in sad, and on the way out, they said, this is great. We love our new church. They were very committed day one. But as we began to attend every week, we also began to feel the same commitment that we too loved our new church. We are thankful for just the kindness and the love that has been shown to our kids and to us for the way that the kids here have integrated our kids into their friend group and for the way the adults have integrated us into theirs. For the ways that people have shown up for my kids. If you haven't heard my kids running around, it must be your first Sunday. They're busy and they're loud and they are welcomed here. And I love to be part of a church family that recognizes that noisy kids in worship are a church that has a future. For people who have shown understanding for me when I am all done with maybe something that is happening, people who've stepped in to give an extra hand. So before we came here, I was not in a good place. I was angry, and I was the kind of angry that you don't know that you're angry until you stop being angry. I would leave church on Sunday morning in a bad mood, and I was in a bad mood all day. It just was rarely where I was, and I realized that I didn't feel that anymore. So I was thankful to find a place that I wasn't feeling that anger. I wasn't feeling that that sadness. I'm thankful for the friendships that I've made, the people who have been able to have great conversations, for people who have shown support, for times when we have different ideas and different thoughts and different feelings about how things should happen and how we can talk through those ideas and we can talk through those differences and we can walk out of the room still brothers and sisters in Christ. I am thankful for people who have shown support in different things that are important to me. I'm thankful for our elders and our leadership for both their leadership and what they do and also how they love our congregation and they care about the things that are important. I'm thankful for being able to host, for those of you who don't know, I'm the director of a foster care agency, and I've been hosting a support group for our foster parents here for the last several months, and I'm thankful for that opportunity. I'm thankful that we've been just included in the congregation, in the fun things, and also that we've been asked to help, you know, teaching Bible class, helping with Vacation Bible School, just the ways we've been included. This has been a wonderful place to be, and I'm very thankful for each and every one of you.
So we started attending here about a year and a half, 2 years ago. It was right in the middle of the pandemic. We, for probably the better part of a decade, had been thinking and considering leaving our previous church family. There were a lot of wonderful people there, lots of people we loved, but we had a lot of frustration. It, I think, was even harder for Leah because she grew up in that congregation But there were a lot of, we had a lot of frustration about choices that were made. Our children were one of the few children there. We worried about their future. And we're just so thankful that we have a community here. I'm thankful that I can see my wife be joyful on Sundays. I'm thankful that my kids love coming and that they learn here. And that they get to be with brothers and sisters. I'm thankful that this is a place that is faithful to God and the Bible, but it's still okay to ask hard questions. It's okay to process things. I think, again, the pandemic was a hard time, and it was hard for everyone. I know it was hard for my kids, my wife, but God, I'm thankful that He, out of that, led us to make a change. And brought us here.
Shepherds, anybody else that would like to join me up here as we pray over the Thompson family? Thank you guys very, very much. On the spot prayer to anybody want to pray over them? I prayed over the shoes. Dick, you want
it? Father in heaven, I just thank you for the Thompsons and Lord, for their decision to come here to church in the Falls. Lord, I just want to thank you for the talents and the abilities that they have and the way that they have used those for this congregation. Lord, thank you. We have been thoroughly blessed with their presence. And Lord, I just pray that you will continue to use them in your service and just to be able to glorify you and just to lift you up. Thank you for their presence, and thank you for your son. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you guys very much. I am especially grateful for this time of year where we get to reflect and we get to listen to others. I'm grateful for this past Wednesday evening and the video that Memphis Bailey shared with us. I'm grateful for the song and for the testimony that Heidi was able to share with us on Wednesday. For Glenn and for the pickleball band. And the song they were able to share with us. I'm also grateful for what Bob shared with us on Wednesday night. Just the powerful testimony that he gave about his dad. In the midst of difficult, trying seasons in life. Looking back on that and how God redeemed, restored, and kind of reclaimed his dad for him and for his purpose. And how that had such a huge impact on Bob. Thank you, Dave and Stacy. Thank you, Travis, Leah, for sharing this morning. With the few moments that we have left, I invite you to process with me. Sometimes it can be difficult in life to pay attention the things with which we should be thankful for. We oftentimes use that word should, and that's a heavy word. That can bear a lot of us down with the word should. And at the same time, when we stop and when we process and when we think, there are lots of things with which we have to be thankful for in life. So how do you and I, and how do we as a church body, go about living a life of thankfulness? How do we get ourselves, what type of posture, what type of place do we put ourselves in to where we are pursuing living a life of thankfulness? In other words, how do I choose to be thankful? And I think there is one important word that we may need to kind of pay attention to. And it's involved, kind of wrapped around a question. And that is, how do I practice thankfulness? What daily practices do I participate in that put me in a position to where I am choosing to be thankful? No matter the circumstances, no matter what's going on, no matter if your team was number one for 1 week and then they lose by 25 last night, in the midst of all of that, and many of you have graciously consoled me this morning, of which I am grateful for. But even the silliness like that, but in the deep, dark, hard times of life, when the doctor comes in the room and uses the cancer word, when there are real deep situations in our families' lives, in people's lives that we love and that we care for, how do we practice thankfulness during those difficult, real times in life? Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, gives us a one-liner, more than just a one-liner, but just this anthem of direction. If you recall what was going on in the context of Daniel, and I'm not going to give the full historical setting of what was going on, but life was not necessarily good for Daniel. Daniel was working his way up the ladder within the Babylonian Empire after he had been sent away from his homeland, from everything that he knew, from his history, from his ancestry, from everything. Daniel and many others were ripped out of that and then placed in this new time, this new area, this new way of life. And they themselves were going through their own sort of reprogramming about what it means and what it looks like to be a human being. And in the midst of this story, this mandate is issued by the powers that be at that time, saying that no one under any circumstances can worship any other god but the God of Babylon, the King of Babylon. That person and that person alone, that deity and that deity alone is only to be worshipped, only to be prayed to, no exceptions. Very difficult time for Daniel, being a Hebrew and knowing that worshiping anyone except God alone is really out of bounds for him and for his conviction about life. And there's this powerful phrase in the midst of this story that I want to invite us to pay attention to. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. So purposefully placing himself in a direction where he is facing where he knows to be the presence of God, where the temple was but was no more. But yet he still puts himself in a position to where he places himself in front of God, where he knows God's presence is. So he strategically places himself in front of God. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. And what just leaped off the pages in this story is Daniel practicing thankfulness. Three times a day, he would give thanks. In the midst of a very difficult, hard, pressure-filled season of his life, he practiced thankfulness. I think that's something we can hear. I think that's something we need to pay attention to. And I think the Bible is inviting us, Daniel's story is inviting us to ask ourselves, okay, how do we go and do likewise? In the midst of whatever seasons we may be experiencing in life, how do we go and do likewise with Daniel's example here? Three times a day, he chose to give thanks. He practiced thankfulness. The Bible's perspective on being thankful can at times be overwhelming. It is found so often within its pages. In these next few passages that we're going to run through, they're simply invitations for us to hear the Word of God, to turn on our active listening, and to pay attention to the invitation that the Bible is presenting towards us about thankfulness. The first one is in Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him. We establish this rootedness. We establish this being built up by practicing certain disciplines in life. In one area that Paul points to, he says, strengthen in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. One way to strengthen your faith is declared here in these passages, and that is practicing thankfulness. One way to root and to ground your foundation in faith is to practice thankfulness. Later on in this same letter, in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 15, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Make a habit of every day of putting on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Next slide, Carm. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. The invitation that we have each and every single day, we are gifted with the gift of breath, with the gift of life, is to put on thankfulness. Along with all the other virtues that Paul mentions here, the invitation that we're offered with every gift of breath is to put on thankfulness. Another passage in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, which is a heavy statement, right? When you hear that command in a world that is filled with anxiety, in a world that promotes and celebrates and at times forces anxiety, to hear that command is heavy. But it doesn't need to be heavy. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And here's a result. The next sentence, the next statement out of Paul's mouth, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. A result of practicing thankfulness is a peace that passes all understanding. There's something that happens within us that at times we don't have language to express when we practice thankfulness. And this result, this outcome, is the muscles of our soul and the muscles of our heart are rooted and they are built up. And we develop this peace that passes all understanding that at times we cannot even express, but it's there and we know it and people see it. And it often comes, so often comes, through the result of us practicing thankfulness. The last passage, Ephesians 5, verses 19, 20. When we gather together and as we speak to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, we sing together and we make music from our hearts together to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father. For what? Everything. You don't just stumble into that type of attitude of heart. You don't just fumble your way into it. You don't just accidentally have this type of attitude of heart. Daniel had this type of attitude of heart. Why? Because three times a day he practiced giving thanks. No matter his circumstances, no matter how good his 401k was doing, no matter how good his team was doing, no matter what was going on at home, no matter what was going on at work, no matter what was going on with his health, no matter what was going on, Daniel chose to practice thankfulness. And a result of that was a peace that passes all understanding, that he can go into a lion's den and not be afraid. And many of us are facing lion's den moments right here, right now, within our lives, within our families. And Daniel gives us the example. The Apostle Paul gives us the example that we can practice thankfulness. And a result of practicing thankfulness, God will work into our lives a peace that passes, that transcends all understanding. And the invitation for each and every single one of us is, do we want that type of peace? Do we want that type of peace? And if you do, one way of pursuing it, practicing thankfulness. And be creative with how you practice thankfulness. Write notes, send text messages, write an email, do the old school thing and give somebody a call with no other agenda except to simply say, I am grateful for you. Thank you for the impact, the influence that you've had on my life. Maybe even take time to write down all the things with which you have to be thankful to God for. Actually write them down. Studies have shown there is something about when we write stuff down versus typing it. It seems to sink deep down into our minds, to our hearts. There are lots of practices out there with which you can begin to take on the art of practicing thankfulness. Pray to God about it. One thing I loved about the video that we started this sermon time with is at the end of it, how do I move forward? I pray. I simply pray. And for some of us, it may be the real, real honest prayer of God. I know I should be thankful, but I'm having a really hard time to be thankful. God can take that prayer. God's shoulders can take that honesty. In fact, he invites us to be that honest with him. And maybe you're not there. Maybe you're in a place where you can say, you know what, God, I am really thankful for this person or this job or this situation or this experience or whatever your thankfulness may be. But the best way to go about practicing thankfulness, begin with prayer. Your perspective changes when your practices change. This isn't just true about thankfulness. This is true about life. Your perspective changes when your practices changes. So may we choose to live a life of thankfulness. And may we all begin, if we're not already doing it, take up the mantle of practicing thankfulness. Now, as we quickly transition, Advent season begins next Sunday. And I'm going to have to ask for grace for some of you who refuse to have anything to do with Christmas until after Thanksgiving is over. I'm going to have to ask for your forgiveness. But next week we are transitioning into Christmas season. We're transitioning into Advent season. And I want to give us just a little bit of an intro of what this Advent season is going to look like. Miss Carmen, please press play.
Yes. Yes. That is the question. That has always been the question.
I've asked myself this question some 30 years now, thirsty for the answer since the day he was born.
And when he got born, I did what any daddy would do. I put that boy on my knee. I gave him a name. I called him mine.
But this was different, because underneath that big bright star, we was watching the world-saving baby.
We had to figure out what child this is.
This Advent Christmas season, each week we're going to be asking the question, what child is this? And we're going to be paying attention to four massive words: hope, love, joy, and peace, and the ways in which those words impact our lives and move us. So again, I encourage you all to invite friends, invite neighbors, invite co-workers to come and to join us for our Advent Christmas season. Jared, you guys can come on up. As we draw this service to a close, let me end by simply saying thank you for being you. Thank you for just being an awesome church family that loves and welcomes and encourages and blesses and builds me up. It's not just me being a part of building you all up. You guys are a part of helping me being rooted and established and built up in love. And I am extremely grateful to be a part of the work here that our God is doing. Our family is very, very happy and blessed to be a part of the work that God is doing. I invite everyone to stand as we sing this final song, and after that we'll be dismissed with a blessing. If there is anyone who is in need of prayers from the church, I will be down here to your left, my right, to receive and to listen to you. If you would like a more private area to which we can share some prayer needs, our shepherds will be in the prayer room. However we can serve you, please make that known as we sing this last song together.